Message, M009, Three Aspects of the Temple in the Wilderness. Given by Cecil J. DuSile, November, 1970.
Jesus is coming in you and in me. Jesus is coming with power and might. Jesus is coming in a great bright light. Open your eyes, ye people of the Lord, and know that it's soon coming. Yea, Jesus is coming, coming with power. Jesus is coming in this very hour. Know that he's coming in you and in me. Know that he's coming and he'll rule o'er the land and sea. Jesus is coming, coming very soon. Open your eyes, it may be night or noon. Yea, praise his name, oh give him glory. Praise his name, give him praise. Open your eyes and see he's coming, coming soon, coming. Oh, praise the Lord, praise his name, praise the Lord, praise his name, praise the Lord, yea, praise his name, it's coming soon. Praise the Lord, oh give him your praise. Praise his name, oh give him praise. Yea, Jesus is coming, he's coming soon. It may be night, it may be noon. Hallelujah.
The Lord thy God, lift up thy head and look at the sky, for behold, thy Lord cometh in great power and glory. Behold, I bring thee the sound of a trumpet. Behold, the sound of a trumpet is in the land, and I do call mine own.
Yes.
Only them that had ears to hear, yes, shall hear.
Yes.
For I speak to a people anointed in their ears. For behold, my angels that go before, and that anoint them in the ears, that they may hear. Who are these that come with anointed ears, said the Lord thy God? Those that have been chosen from the foundation of the world. Behold, I have molded thee in deep dark places. In the bottom of the pits I have molded thee. In adversity and much pain, I brought thee forth. Amen. Consider now in thine heart that thou hast made thyself, neither hast thou brought thyself But I have brought thee.
Amen.
Through many storms, through darknesses, through tribulations, through torments, and in much pain, I did travel with thee to bring thee forth into a land flowing with milk and honey.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Listen now to my voice, saith the Lord thy God. For I am he that spoke from the very beginning, and in this hour I shall bring forth life by my words within thee, and life shall beget life. Amen.
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 And as thou begin to arise from within the grave of thy inner man, wherein thou wert buried so long ago, cast off the grave clothes, my people,
yeah,
said your God. Cast off the things of this life which bind thee hand and foot. Cast off the cares. Cast off the worries. Cast off the things that are only and meshing thee around in this realm, for I do lift thee in this hour to a higher realm. I do lift thee within thy inner man, and this resurrection of the inner man is most important for the next move that I shall make within the earth. For behold, them which are alive shall hear my voice and shall be quickened. Hallelujah. For I, the Lord thy God, doth in this hour blow the trumpet in the land, and all my angels from the four corners of the world rally to the standard of the trumpet that is being blown within the earth. Behold, I send forth my messenger before the dark day of the Lord God appears. Amen.
Amen.
Wilt thou hear my voice, saith the Lord thy God? Wilt thou listen diligently to my speech, saith the Lord thy God? For I am the Lord thy God that hath promised thee, I shall never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hearken thou to my voice, and thou shalt live.
Hallelujah.
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 The hour is upon you, my children, when I am manifesting myself in a new and living way. I am bringing forth truths that have been hid from the time immemorial. Those who have walked before you walked in partial light, but I am bringing a new light into the world, and I am expanding upon the truth that I have spoken by the mouths of my holy prophets. I am pleased, my people, that you desire to seek the deeper things. I am pleased that you are seeking me both in praise and in the living of your lives. I am pleased that I am moving in the land in these latter times, and my glory shall be seen. For the time is short, and I shall do a quick work upon this earth. For the powers of darkness are rising fast, and they are trying to obscure and obliterate the truth. But my people, I am calling you out, and I am calling many others like you out of the darkness of this age and out of the darkness of traditions. And I am calling you into my bright and shining light. And I shall reveal my truths within you, and I shall form my spirit within you to such a degree that you shall rise to the fullness of the stature of Christ. Know, my people, that I am with you and that I am speaking to you and in you. And if you shall be faithful and shall follow my lead and follow my spirit, you shall not walk in darkness, but you shall walk in the light. because that is where I dwell, in the light, in that holy light, and you are walking towards that light, my children. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. Trust my word and trust my spirit, and you shall see all of my glory.
Hallelujah.
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 Bless the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Were there any visions we had while we were praying? Yeah.
That came from behind me here. I saw like a great piece of earth was taken out, just scooped right out, and I heard the words, "Behold, I have drawn thee from the earth," and then I saw like a potter was molding from that lump different vessels. Different vessels, and then there was at one set, and he just moved on them like that, and they became very polished, and they were very rich looking, and I heard the voice for the king's table.
Well, praise the Lord. Over the years, I have proven how valuable these visions that come from Mavis are. And the Lord says, you must wait upon your ministry. Some people like to just get up and prophesy like others, but they don't spend any time with God to prepare themselves. God told me one time, he said, never you prepare a message. He said, prepare yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think ministry, the church, because the whole church is to minister. Yeah. Whole body is part of a ministry. And that God wants us to prepare ourselves. And some people like to talk about other people. Talk negative things, get their minds mixed up in 101 different things, and yet they want to prophesy, and they want to bring forth a pure word. It won't work. You see, you have prophecy down here, you have prophecy up here, and you have prophecy up there. And not every prophecy is a prophecy. I mean, it could be a prophecy from the Lord. Yet God can't bring through the fullness of what he wants to do through you because the vessel is not clean, not yielded enough. And I want you to know, brethren, that people should be diligent over their ministry. You need to be diligent over your ministry. If somebody bring a news to you, tell them you can't hear it at all because this here has got to go hear God. See, and just it hurts you inside. I know the feeling. It hurts you. Somebody's telling you something. You want to get away from it. It hurts you. And sometimes, as a person tells you, you forget ever living, just a blank. You can't remember what they said because it wasn't something good. You see, we can't have two minds. God said we must be single-minded. And if your mind is on the things of God, you find that you begin to release the things of the world. And when we talk about things of the world, we're not talking about wicked things, you know. Your ordinary life, your home, your house. Some women will worry from morning till night to have everything immaculate, spotless in the house. And the time they spend thinking and dusting and worrying around, they just forget God entirely. Blessed be to God, I tell you, we live in a very big house. And I had my wife there, and when I see her around that house, I said, God, you have got to move her out of this house. Yeah. I knew she couldn't survive in that house because she is just all day working, keeping five bedrooms going and this and that and there. Nobody lives there. We live there alone with our sons. And she's got to be dusting. And I said, my God, if somebody is coming up and everything is not immaculate, oh, she gets flustered. She wants to. And this is the way in women. And the men have their own way too. And I'm saying that all this must go. We have got to become so spiritual. No, I'm not telling you to leave your place, Slavi. I'm just not saying that. I'm just saying, Martha, Martha, thou hast been careful about many things, even in looking after food for our Lord to eat. But the chief thing, Mary, had chosen the better part. And we are the Mary company now. And God is asking us to choose the better part. Get immaculate and diligent about your ministry. Now, spend time, spend nights praying to God. Don't allow people to come and disturb your mind with all kinds of news. If it's something about the sister that must be prayed about, amen. If they tell you something about the brother, you've got to meet the brother and talk to him about it, and that puts you in trouble. Yes, this is why Satan has been able to destroy the churches. Because you have people praying and preaching who can't receive the fullness from God because the law of opposites are against them. Hate destroys love. If you bring your gift to the altar and there, remember that my brother has something against me, boy, leave it there. I can't pray. I'm gone to seek my brother. Be thou reconciled with thy brother before you bring that gift to the altar. That's what God says. Amen. So our problem is that Satan has been using little tricks on us. He comes, he smashes me against Rick. And boy, you can't pray. During that time, you have that stigma against your brother. You cannot communicate with God. Not because God isn't still there. Not because God isn't communicating with you. But the passage is blocked. Forgive us our trespasses in the same measure and at the same degree to which I forgive my brother of his trespasses. It's a law. It's not God barring you from forgiveness. It's a law that goes into operation automatically. If you don't forgive your brethren, your passage is blocked. You can't receive forgiveness. For the same passage by which you give forgiveness is the same place by which you receive forgiveness. That heart of love would see your brother wrong and see him trying to tear you to pieces and say, oh God, have mercy upon him. Something must be wrong with him. Oh God, you get so sorry for him. He's trying to tear you to pieces. And you're sorry for him because you know that's not the boy. You know that's not the man. You know God doesn't do that. And you know that there's something tearing him so badly that he wants to tear somebody. When we get to understand these things, as I have told you that story several times, when this boy began to drive the blows in me, and the devil said, hit him, give it to him, all I could think of was the wretched boy. After I'd finished hitting him, what would happen to him? And I was sorry for him. While he was beating me, I was sorry for him because I just feel that I'm iron and nothing could go wrong with me. And he was just slamming me. I said, oh God, have mercy. And there he was. When that guy was through, he came over. He's a sinner, you know, a real sinner too. He came over and he said, Dusil, he said, God bless you. He said, you are the first Christian I've ever met. He found out somewhere along the line while he was punching me that if I had wanted to, I could have hurt him, and I didn't. He found it out because when he hit me with all, he gave me all he had, you know. And I stood up there, and he knew right away. He's a fighter. He knows when he can't floor a man. He knew right away that I could have hurt him, and I didn't touch him. I was glad. I really was glad when the boy finished, you know, because I was fearing myself. Lord, you know, the devil was tempting me, sure, and Satan was showing me every mistake he was making while he was punching me. He lifted up his arm and gave me a hook like that, and I went like that, you know, and the blow glanced off me, and he kind of stumbled. Satan said, just give it to him now. And my hand jumped like that. I said, no, God. And I can tell you, brethren, God wants you to live every bit of what you are preaching. Amen. There's no use, people say, they are higher, in a higher realm, going on to perfection, and yet they can't live that higher realm. If we are living down there, in the low realm, don't let us go preaching a high doctrine. Let's get back down there and see if we can live coming right up the ladder. Because Solomon's temple had different steps from the outer court up to the holy place. More steps up. You've got to go up. The highest point was that Holy of Holies in the temple. Praise be to God. This morning, yes, so I was talking about the visions that Mavis has. She's very careful. I couldn't say, if somebody hurts me and I say to her it hurts her, she asked me not to talk about that anymore. And she has the spirit to be very careful with her ministry. Very careful. If you touch her, she can't prophesy. She can't bring forth the visions clearly. If you say a word to her, that anything, any little distress, she's knocked out of groove. And so she's very careful with her ministry. And I feel that all of us need to do the same. Now, the visions she brings, I have so much confidence in them. I talk it right before the devil, you know. Yeah, because my confidence is in God. Amen. And if she keeps on being careful, and if I keep on being careful in my operation with her, then she will continue to grow in visions. I've seen her grow from a babe in Christ, and she grow right up in visions and in manifestations. And the Lord speaks to her personally. A lot of these words she get when there is tongues in the meeting, if there's no other interpreter, sometimes God gives her the interpretation. She sees it clearly, word for word. She could just read it off as the person speaks. Sometimes the person speaks in tongues and she hears it in English. You see? And these are the different manifestations. That might not happen to you. You might get it a different way. But I'm just saying that these visions that she has are very, very valuable to us. And these words that you hear from the Spirit are very valuable. And as one of the senior prophets in the body, I really want the younger ones to pray to God that they too might bring forth the perfect word, because this body really needs a perfect word.
Yes.
A man in trouble, he wants somebody to help him, to pray with him, to hear directly from God. We need this kind of ministry in the body. So I'm asking you, brethren, just to pray to God and take care of your ministry. Every one of you have a ministry. I don't know if the previous teachers have been teaching you that, but every person in the body of Christ has a ministry. Even the hair on my head has a ministry. I cut it off sometimes, but it does have a ministry. And if it wasn't going to grow, I wouldn't cut it. Praise the Lord. So I feel that you need to realize that you're a part of God's body, and you have a peculiar ministry to yourself, and you must not go about trying to act like other people.
Amen.
Do not emulate another ministry.
Amen.
But let God move through you as you feel impressed. If you're in the service and you feel impressed with anything, ask permission just to give forth what it is. If it's wrong, then the body is going to correct you. And that's the way you're going to get your correction, by the same love that flows. If you are right, give it forth. It's going to bless the body. You see what I'm talking about? Many of us are afraid to move when God moves in us, But for my part, I could be in the midst of a great revelation and God touch you and say, get up. You get up, disturb me. Because if it is God, we will know. Amen. And if it is not God, you will know. And you won't do it again without anybody talking to you. Because the divine order is not in me to give to you. But divine order is in you. And I'll soon explain that in this word here. Divine order is in you. Do you understand that? God said, I would plant my law in their inward parts. And so God has planted his divine order in you. You don't need any church rules to live and operate right. You have within you the divine order of God. And any time you are out of order, you are out of the Spirit. You can't be in the Spirit and out of order. Mm-hmm. Do you see what I'm driving at? If you are in the Spirit, you cannot be out of order. Anything you do in the Spirit, you are not out of order. And if in your meetings you see somebody always getting up and doing things out of order, and that person believes they are in the Spirit, then it is time enough to go lay hands on that person and cast that spirit out. You see what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. There are times when you find a person in a meeting always disturbing the meeting, and it kind of jarring to the whole meeting, and it continues and continues and continues. That brother or sister is begging you to deliver him. That is why we shouldn't hide anything. Manifest the Lord as he comes. If it's wrong, if something is wrong in you, he said, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we'll have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us. After we have fellowship, then we get the cleansing. Praise be to God. Now, I have almost forgotten the vision. Could you repeat it?
I saw like a piece of clay. One piece of clay was cooked out of the
earth. Yeah.
And then I heard, out of the earth have I drawn thee.
Yeah.
Or brought thee. And then I saw like a potter making different vessels.
Yeah.
And different kinds, different shapes and sizes.
Yeah.
And then some were put one side, and he passed his hand over them.
Yeah.
They were polished.
Yeah.
And very beautiful.
Glory.
And I heard the voice say, for the king's table.
For the king's table. Well, praise be to God. Mm-hmm. I think what she has seen here is just a confirmation of the actual thing that's happening within the body at this time. God is drawing a people out of the earth, and he is molding them into his own image. He has taken them out, he has made them into vessels, but in this hour he is polishing a special amount, number of those vessels for a special job. This is what we call the first fruit company. God is making unto himself an elite army to go and stand before the God of the world to bring down the kingdoms of the world. Some people want to know where they are. Am I one of those? Am I one of those? And this kind of question is not so good, because what we are today, we are the sixth church, and the seventh church is within us. Do you understand what I'm talking about? The seventh church is the perfect thing that God was bringing forth in the earth. From the time he made Adam, he had something in his mind. And the perfect people coming forth. Don't go around telling people that you are perfect. You are only perfect in one realm. Don't tell people you are perfect. You are only perfect in one realm. And we are being perfected in two realms. And the soulish realm is to be perfected, and the physical body will be perfected one day. So, as we are this morning, we are that in that realm where we are being overshadowed, so that which shall be born within us shall be called the Son of the Almighty God. You understand what I'm talking about? Well, I'm going to explain all this. And so this is what Mavis has seen as a complete confirmation of the message which is coming forth at this time. So let me start here, because our time is limited. We are going to deal with the three aspects of the tabernacle in the wilderness. I had done that already in sketches, and I had done it with you. I had never done it fully. It could never be done fully this morning. And according to the time at our disposal, we are going to take it piece by piece rather than doing it fully at any one time. So the three aspects of the tabernacle that God gave Moses. The first is that the tabernacle is the church. It represents the church, everything that is called church in God's in God's vocabulary. Now, the second thing, it represents the human body. The temple. Amen. And thirdly, it represents the body of Christ. Hallelujah. The final representation. Now, we have, I always have to make an apology for my drawing of the tabernacle, because it's not exactly like that, but for the sake of drawing, I just draw it there, and I'm putting it in three parts. Each part divided by a veil. Veil, three veils. Now, the first part here is called the outer court. And this is the holy place. And the third part is the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies. Now, the tabernacle has seven pieces of furniture. And the seven pieces of furniture, the first is the altar of sacrifice. Brazen altar. It's made out of brass. It has four horns. Then we have the laver, made out of brass. It has water in it. This was one, two, three, the table of showbread has 12 loaves of bread. Then that the fourth, the candlestick, has seven lamps. And the fifth, normally, through the whole year, the fifth piece of furniture is within the holy place. But once a year, the priest takes it up, and the high priest takes it up and carries it with him into the Holy of Holies. So we are dealing with perfection now, so let's put it in the Holy of Holies, right? It has horns, doesn't it? And the sixth piece, the sixth and the seventh are together. Fifth, sixth, seventh. And the sixth piece has cherubims. They are rather like this rather than like this, but in Solomon's temple they are like this. Amen. But in the ark they are like this, overshadowing the ark, you see. So just a little difference there. Now that represents the whole church of God in the whole earth. Anybody who is in church or belong to church or belong to God must be within this realm, or else they are outside, clean outside. For instance, people who believe in God but don't believe in Jesus the Savior, they are clean outside of the church. People who believe in everything the Bible preaches except in the blood, they are clean outside of the church. So God says church begins with the brazen altar and the brass altar that could not bring perfection. This is where church begins. So a man only begins to go to church when he is saved. Before you are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, you have no part or lot with church or with God. Amen. So, we find this brass altar, they bring the bull, kicking, fighting bull, men through force, tie him with ropes. And that rope is a type of flesh. Time with flesh, with rope, bring him through this veil by force. I want you to notice that man doesn't come by his own free will to God, but the Holy Ghost draws him. If what your life, what brings you to this point, you have been hauled and pulled in your life. Before you got saved, you've been beaten and bruised, and circumstances hit you and buffet you, and then finally you decide, well, I might as well get saved. Some of us were better off than that. Mother or father pushed us and forced us and sent us to Sunday school and cared and girded us until we got the idea. So somehow or the other, man has got to be forced to come through his flesh, to come to the brazen altar. And this is the reason God makes missionaries to go and pick up people. And this is why you talk to people about their souls, because you are an angel. All of you here, you are spirits. You are not, I don't see you as carnal people sitting before me. You are spirits. And you either do good or evil by your spirits. The things you think, you are doing a big job without knowing. You just think about a thing and it is affecting that thing. You are contributing to the spirit world, whether good or evil. Whatever you think, whatever you talk negative things, negative spirits hear it and they are glad. You feed them. One person has a bad spirit and likes to talk evil things about people, because the spirit in her has to feed on that. But she comes to you and she wants to talk it with you to feed on you. And when the spirit takes a hold of you, you begin to talk these bad things with her. And talk about John Brown, talk about Mary, talk about this one, and it's all negative things.
You hardly hear those people say, well, praise God for Sister Jane. She's doing pretty fine in the gospel. And you know what I mean. And God said, if anything be honest, if anything be pure, if anything be just, if anything be lovely, if anything be of good report, he said, dwell on these things. Why you think Paul said that? He got the principle and the understanding of this basic principle that these demon spirits feed upon wrong, negative things. And if you want an evil spirit to feed on you, you begin to think negative. And he will be glad for an ally, somebody whom he can work with. If you think positive, you drive away every spirit that is negative from you. You will notice that people love each other. So you just meet a woman and she likes you and you become pally. You become friends. Why? Because both of you have the same spirit. That's why you become pally with her. When you find you have this kind of attachment to people, it's a sign to you in the spirit that that person has something like you. And if that person is unsaved, you have a power to draw him to God. As an angel of God, this is your duty. So the people that you come in contact with every day, these are contacts, they are spirit contacts. Contacts that God is giving you, wherein you might pull your friend in. Amen. And you see, God, just like, look at the spirit, soul, and the body message, you see. Why do you think God made man in three parts? Because God couldn't just go and contact man's body to jerk him to death. God had to make a spirit in man, and then God contact that spirit in man, and the spirit in man contacts a soul in man, and the soul in man contacts, and everyone is coming through a veil. And God is insulated so that God can come and walk in Rick's body. But he couldn't just do it from God to flesh. It would be dead. So God uses you as an insulation to contact people. Amen. And you supposed to have power over your men folks. Power for good. Power to deliver. Power to set free. Because you associate with that man and you are giving him power every time you come near to him. Every time you touch him. Every time you tell him you love him. You bring something into him. And if that man wants to stay with you, he has something for God. I don't care how much he curses. See? Yes. But some of us are so selfish, we are thinking of our comfort because he curses me and because he boofs me sometimes and because he fights me and he hurts me. I don't want him. Get out of here. Go to the devil if you want. And that's the spirit. But we are missionaries of God. We are angels of God. And as an angel, you have a duty. And a war, you don't tell me you're going to war without expecting to get hit. And you've got a war on your hands. Finish it. Finish it in righteousness. Amen. You finish that war in righteousness. Never stop pumping life into that man. If he can't stand you anymore and he has to run, leave you. Then that is God's will. Let him go. But if he can stand you, boy, push life into him. It must be either eggs or young ones. He must either come or go. And that's the principle. What Paul wrote, he said, if the unsaved will abide, let him abide. Say that, brother or sister, is not bound in this case. He said, but if he won't abide, let him go. Amen. And I tell you, even that letting go, if you love that man, you get after him. Not to bring him back, but to bring him to God. But you see, the flesh is always coming in between. The flesh is always disturbing our work. But our basic work is that we are angels of God in the harvest field of God, gathering together a people for God without knowing it. Your very presence radiates a presence. Your workplace, wherever you are, when you are not there, people feel lonely. They feel fearful. Every time you're absent from work, certain things happen that don't happen while you are there. Because your very presence disturbs the spirits that would come in and make a mess of things. Amen. When you go, when you stop from work, you watch. Take a check, ask your friend what happened today. And they will tell you. People don't feel as safe. During the war, the boy that is a Christian, all the other boys want to fight beside him as soon as shooting starts. They feel better just to be near him. They will curse him, you know. They'll play all kinds of tricks on him. They will do him all kinds of things. But when it comes to battle, every man wants to be near him. Yeah. And as soon as anything happens to a man, he calls out, "Call John to pray for me." So you have to understand your business is human beings. You better believe it. Your business, your chief business on earth is human beings. And you can't go about kicking and hurting people and not knowing that you're an angel of God which should bring life to them. A man kicks you, you don't have to kick him back. I remember the first kicking I got for God. I just laughed, and I just laughed while this man came and he slammed me. And he looked at me, came and oh, bam. I'm running by a little. I just started laughing, looking. I didn't feel it, I didn't see it. That guy got afraid. He stepped back and he never came back. Because he wondered what kind of creature is this. He was kicking me as hard as he could with his boot, and I was just sitting down. And he couldn't understand what is wrong. But I had no animosity against him. They were beating this boy, and I just took this boy, put him beside me, and put my foot across. And this guy came and he slammed me. He went back and he slammed me. And I just sat down there and laughed. And this boy was right there, not hurt. But this is the sort of thing you have a job to do. You can't think of yourself. When you go out in battle out there, you don't think of yourself. You just forget yourself. There's a battle to fight. There's a war before you. Just finish it. And this is the kind of behavior that I feel that we Christians who feel that we are in a higher realm, we had better get up, forget self and forget our own pain, forget our own feelings, and get forward and do God's will.
Amen.
We are here because we gave up our lives, our natural lives. I gave up my school. We had a good, prosperous high school in Montego Bay, 300 young people, and we could do work for God, but God just didn't want us to do that work anymore. We had been spending many years working in the school, and I was a principal of the school. God said, go. I drop everything. I had my little farm. I dropped everything, dropped my farm, left it with all thousands of dollars of pigs to be sold and chicken orders and everything. I left it. I said, supply what you can supply, and so on. I came away. But the time I wouldn't have done that 5 years ago. But God whispered to me, said, now is the time. Mm-hmm. And I've been waiting for 20 years to hear that word. Mm-hmm. To tell me, when is the time now to go to the United States, just before the destruction hits. Mm-hmm. That's what he told me many, many years ago. I've been waiting. And this is the reason why I'm here. And so I'm preaching the same message to you. Asking you, for God's sake, now, to lay down your work, your natural life, and begin to look forward to another life now. I'm asking you this. It has been confirmed over and over again. I met this brother from Russia. He's really one of the Dutchmen who write this book, God Smuggler. And he told me that in Russia, God came there one night and wrote 10 things on the wall that ye must observe now. And one of the 10 things was that you must lay down. We have it in a little magazine right there. You're going to help me put that magazine together after the service. You can all get a copy of it. One of the things he said, ye must now cease from your own activities. Now, he said, and I look at it very seriously, that God is now calling up people to be dead serious. Your number one job is to look about the things of heaven. No! Well, the others are subsidiary just to keep you going. But in 2 years' time, you won't have this freedom that we have here now. The World Council of Churches is putting laws to the government that will arrest every one of us for sitting down in this room. Right now, we run into the government down in Miami. They arrested Reverend Hinson and sent him to jail. And the American Evangelistic Association have to be fighting dear to get and got him out of jail because he had services in his own place. And there's a law on the books right now which says it is illegal for any gathering of people to gather together in a house to have services. That can arrest every one of us by their laws. They are not using it yet. But there is something afoot. There is something afoot. These churches that are fragmenting, they don't like it. They are being pulled to pieces. The big organizations are being pulled to pieces because people just cut it. Groups like this.
This is the end of message, M. 009. Three aspects of the temple in the wilderness.